This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 28th, 2015, episode 1222.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Good morning, horse people. Glenn and Jamie, the dynamic duo of podcasting, are up to some sort of shenanigans outside the studio today. So let's enjoy another Crossover Tuesday, this time with Horsemanship Radio. Show host Debbie Laux sits down with three awesome equestrians who participated in the Gentling Wild Horses Clinic at Flag Is Up Farm. Regular listeners to the show already know, but for you newbies, 50% of our dynamic duo, that would be Jamie, attended the clinic, and you'll hear some interesting insight from her on the show today as well. So, without further ado...
This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 15th and the 30th of the month, and I have my producer, Glenn, with me today. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Debbie. It's good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. I bet you're hearing a lot about Jamie Jennings and your co-host being out here at Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang.
Yeah, she's been doing the morning show. She's my co-host on Horses in the Morning, and she's been doing the morning show from there. And, you know, it has to be hard for her to spend all day outside with you guys doing the training and everything. And then I'm assuming there's no drinking at night. And then having to wake up early in the morning, which is really early out there. She probably has to get up around 5 to do the show with us live in the morning. So I'm assuming she's pretty tired by the fourth day here.
I think she's a kid at camp. Yep. It's pretty much all day. And she's got her two horses here, too. So she's been riding in the morning. As far as I know, she's ridden in the morning. And I know she rides in the evening after the class is over, too.
She's in horse heaven, I'm sure.
She is. She's got...
I'm so excited that she's there doing that. And we've started to hear from listeners who are very excited that she's there doing that, too. There was one in particular, too. I sent you an email. And I don't even know if we're allowed to talk about this, but I'm going to make an executive decision and say yes. So I apologize.
Oh, good,
do you have it there?
I would love to read it to everybody. It's just amazing. It's from Linda. And it says, good morning, Hit'em. That's Horses in the Morning. Yes, I am so addicted to your show. You are so much fun and always love Jamie, that girl, as Glenn calls her. Way to go, Jamie, for going to Flag Is Up Farms. It just keeps getting better, more educational, and mind-blowing to spend time there. So glad to see you are there for more than a couple of days, as there's so much to learn and retain, muscle and brain memory. And yes, Monty must be part horse. Yeah, we all know he is at least half horse. And so And he is so incredibly in tune with the equus language. I attended the intro course, she says, and after almost 30 years with horses, what I learned was amazing. And more than that, it showed me why horses react and do what they do. We never used any strong arm methods on our horses and always had good results. But Monty's education that is available to us just takes horsemanship to a whole new level. Again, congrats to Jamie. Your enthusiasm is infectious and word will spread. Glenn, please make the trip to Flag Is Up Farm soon. You have to be there to get the full impact of Monty's work. And you have a huge listener audience. You're fun and influential in the horse world. We need people like you, Jennifer and Jamie. Keep smiling. Sincerely, Linda.
All right, did we fool her?
Wow, I know. She must have just listened to one show.
That's
so sweet. No, that is
very nice.
Thank you for sharing that with us, too, so that I could say thank
you. And right after this show today, we're actually going to work out the time that Jennifer and I are going to come over in the fall. We're making a trip out to see Jamie in Arizona, and we're going to come out and we're going to see Flag Is Up Farm. But I want to even add to that and try and do the schedule that we can do the morning show, that we can do the morning show from Flag Is Up Farm. So, that's what I want to talk to you about after the show today.
Okay. All right.
But you have a bunch of girls coming in, and we got a kind of little bit of a different show today. So tell everybody what's coming up right after we hear from IFA.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Hebner, president of Index Fund Advisors and proud owner of Monty Roberts Willing Partners graduate. He's a sugar bear. You know, investment portfolios are a lot like horses. You need to find one that best suits you, your temperament, and your stage of life. Some people might like an energetic horse and an aggressive investment portfolio, while others are more comfortable with a gentle ride and a more conservative investment portfolio. The trick is to find the one that's right for you. That's what Index Fund Advisors is all about, matching people with portfolios, risk-appropriate, low-cost, and globally diversified investment portfolios. You can find the right portfolio for you by taking the risk capacity survey at ifa.com. That's IFA as an Index Fund Advisors. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-643-3133. That's 888-643-3133.
We all hear about omega-3 and how important it is for your horse's nutrition. But why? Well, simply put, horses were created to get all of their nutrition from live natural grasses. Omega-3 is an essential fat found in many types of live grasses, and it's critical to the horse's health. If they were living on live grasses 24/7, they would be receiving enough omega-3. But in today's world, most horses are fed commercial feed and forage as their primary nutrition, and most of these are lacking in omega-3. That's where Omega Fields comes in. All of Omega Fields' flax-based products provide a balanced essential profile of omega-3, 6, 9 and may be helpful in alleviating problems related to skin, coat, hoof, joint, and sand colic. One of Omega Fields' terrific products is Omega Horseshine. Omega Horseshine is an omega-3 stabilized ground flaxseed supplement for horses to help maintain a shiny, healthy coat, strong, solid hooves, and top performance for horses in all life stages. Omega Fields provides the best human-grade, non-GMO ground flax that can help horses with dry, scaly, itchy skin, joint pain and inflammation, poor hoof growth, allergies, and more. Don't just listen to Debbie and I. Alexandra, a customer of Omega Fields, says any horse I ever own, I will feed them Omega Horseshine and I will recommend it to anyone. You can get your Omega Horseshine today at OmegaFields.com, or just for our listeners, get 15% off using the coupon code Monty2015. All one word, it's Monty2015 for 15% off your next order at OmegaFields.com. That's OmegaFields.com.
Today, we have a special show. We are broadcasting from Flag Is Up Farms. I'm upstairs in the office where we get the best internet speed. Note to that. And we have some special ladies. We have Denise Heinlein, who's the head instructor at the Monty Roberts International Learning Center. We have a newly minted certified instructor. It doesn't mean she's not experienced, though. She's been working at years in the Monty Roberts concepts. She's young, and she's from Las Vegas. Her name is Caitlin Eddy. And we have Jamie Jennings, the co-host of the Horses in the Morning radio show on the Horse Radio Network, who happens to be a student of the Gentling Wild Horses course that we have going on right now. And I want to get right into the conversation we had coming out of the classroom and the gentling pen today about the history of horses and their nature, and then the history of horsemanship and training. Well, welcome, Glenn. We have a great show today because I'm really excited not only to have your co-host, Jamie Jennings, with us today, Yoo-hoo! But Woo-hoo! We also have, yeah, and live, she's actually here. And then we also have Denise Heinlein, who's the head instructor for the Monty Roberts International Learning Center. And we have a brand new certified Monty Roberts instructor in Caitlin Eddy. And she is from Las Vegas. Am I saying your name right, Caitlin? You're so new.
Yes. Yeah, you are.
Great. Thank you. So Caitlin is... she just literally came in on Sunday to rejoin us. She just got her certificate and went back home, packed up her horses, and came back just in a short span. So we're really fortunate to have her. And Denise, I'm sure, is relieved to have her as extra hands. And this mm-hmm. is Denise Heinlein from, you'll know right away that she's originally from Germany, but she's living here on Flag Is Up Farms now. Say hi for us.
I say hello because that already always gives me away when I say hello. Then people tell me, oh, you're from Germany. And I wonder how they can tell it by one word, but apparently it's so...
Even the hello.
Even the hello. So by now, I hope I can say hello and you wonder where I'm from.
Nope.
Nope. Jamie says nope. Okay. Oh, well. But we've gotten really used to Denise's voice this week because we are... we're here to share a little bit about a course that Denise actually wrote the curriculum for and inspired us to take on about a year ago, I think it mm-hmm. was now, that you said you came to us and said, I'd like people to have access to this wonderful IFA GentLink facility that we have out here. And the fact that, you know, in Europe, it's not so easy to get wild horses, non-domesticated horses that come out of wild settings, or even some of those that are they've had a rough time with people, too, from some of the rescues. It's not so easy to gather them up and put them in a really good facility. So Denise said, why don't we put together a curriculum and a short class? Well, it's actually 2 weeks. It's not that short. Class where people could come and learn about the concepts of gentling and give horses a nice start. So I'd like, just because I have the founder right here and the person who inspires, I'd like you to describe a little bit about how that whole development happened in your mind.
Well, it did happen in my mind, of course, when I first got here and did my advanced course at the farm. I was really, really impressed by the work we could do with those wild horses. And I did love the fact that they are so good teachers for the human students, because they tell you right away what you do wrong or in their eyes, which they cannot accept. And for us, we don't even think about it, like quick movements or how our body position is or how we are breathing, if we are holding intention and all of these things. And the wild horses, they kind of advance you in the way how you are dealing with then the normal domesticated horses. Mm-hmm. And this was one thing I really wanted to expand, because in the advanced courses, we teach a little bit about it, but like the main focus is on starting young horses. And we have the wild horses in that program too, but in my opinion, it was always too little. Mm. So I thought it would be a fantastic idea to have like a course just focusing on how those wild horses are learning and how quickly they learn if they haven't had any bad experience, and how the concepts are working, like Monty's methods, which the horses show us like right away. So it's so fantastic to see that they tell us it's like a good way to deal with them. And yeah, all together, I just thought it would be like interesting for other people too. So I'm glad that we are now here and we have the first course running, which is fantastic, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. It is amazing to watch that whole thing sprout from an idea and to have people from all over the world really joining us now, too, which is a lot of fun. And Caitlin, out of Las Vegas, that other country in the U.S., Caitlin, tell us a little bit about your experience so far, because you're coming right out of that advanced course where you're fortunate enough to take on a project horse and work through that. Is that something that you grew up doing, or is this all new and fun for you?
Yes, I actually love the Mustangs, and it's not as new for me as it is for others, because I got my first Mustang when I was 13, and I adopted her from BLM, and I competed in the Mustang Makeover with her in 2008. So I already had my feet wet a little bit working with wild horses. And I agree with Denise. I love that they are the best teachers because they tell you everything, whether they like it or whether they don't. And the quicker you are to recognize what they're saying to you and to communicate back to them by meeting their needs, it's amazing how fast they can progress and how much of a bond you can build with them. And once you have that, you can do anything with these horses.
Wow, that's a statement right there, because you're doing some competition. You've got your own Mustang. You've got a barrel racing horse. Am I right?
Yeah, my barrel horse isn't a Mustang, though.
No, I mean, separately, you've got a Mustang. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a quarter horse barrel horse. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. No, and it's wonderful to have an instructor that comes out of the competitive world too. Denise is a fine rider, and you've actually competed at high levels in Europe. Am I right?
Not high levels, but I was working for high level trainers as a co-worker for quite a while before I started to get into Monty's method. So for reining and working cow horse. So that was fun. I mean, I know the highest.
She can ride a horse. Yeah, she can really ride. And Dad told this story during the Gentling Weld, this class, about the first time he ever met Denise was watching her ride a bucking horse first to the right and then the bucking horse next to the left around and around the bend. And he thought, oh, this one's going to come off, but she didn't. And that's a great little introduction to, I want to know who that was right there. And that's a great rider. So we've got some high-end riders here. Plus, now I want to hear from Jamie Jennings from the student perspective, who has also come out here now with your two horses. Jamie, tell us what it's looking like through the eyes of a student at the Gentling Wild Horses.
Oh my gosh. You know, to perfectly try to put it in words, it is exhilarating. It's intimidating. It's interesting. It is exciting. You know, just today, you know, you use the Gentling Wild Mustang chutes and you put them in these chutes and you develop a little bit of a relationship with them, trying to touch them. And then at some point you get them out of the chute and it's almost like it's such a different that you start over again almost, but they have a little bit more trust. And just to be a part of it, just like Caitlin said, they tell you when you screw up. I mean, it's amazing. I have screwed up, I think, 3 times now, pretty wholesale. And Caitlin will be standing next to me and go, nope, too fast. I'm like, you think? Yeah, you just left. So being a part of this is something that is a dream come true for me to be, you know, I adopted a Mustang and I brought him with me, but I adopted him out of a prison training system where he had 90 days with an inmate. So he wasn't totally wild. He's incredibly green, but not totally wild. So I had always wanted to work with an unhandled Mustang, but never really had the courage nor the knowledge to do something like that. And I feel like at the end of 2 weeks here, I will be armed with the ability and the knowledge to at least go start. And now, because Caitlin's sitting here, I'm going to steal her phone number and I'll just call her with any questions I have forever.
Yeah, good. Oh, you have a resource now too. So when you say you make mistakes, you know, I'm thinking as a first-time listener or somebody who says, I know how to start a horse. I mean, my daddy did it. My granddaddy did it. What are you seeing as outside the box? What's different about this? And what are the mistakes that you're making that you think you may not have even been conscious of before this week?
Well, Denise, correct me if I'm wrong, please. But if you, when we say that they tell you everything, if you go an inch too far with your hand or a hair too fast, they respond. Whether they respond with a little bit of a shot, you know, they get shy or they move away from you or they strike or they kick or whatever they do, or they, like my big mistake yesterday was the person that was, I was holding the Mustang. I was holding what we call him Skinny or Navajo. We're all in argument over his name. I was holding him and the guy who was going to touch him next to me, and he was in the pin, but not in the chute, went a little too fast, and he bolted really quickly, and he got away from me a little bit. And I just feel like if I would, you know, what I'm learning here is to how to respond to that and how to handle that, right, and not make a mistake. Because here at Flag Is Up, what the most important thing is safety. And I'm right, learning how to safely handle these horses, safe for them and safe for me. That's and everybody around.
That's the trick, isn't it? It's about the timing, because the horses are being completely honest. So it's up exactly to us. And I think this is one of the things that the theme for today that I wanted to get into is what a little bit about what we spoke about in the classroom this morning is that, so how long have horses been on Earth? Like 50 million years. I think most people agree that, you know, given our dating system these days, let's say 50 million years. And how long did this is the quiz for today, right? How long did Dad say today, Monty Roberts say today, that we've been domesticating horses or trying to train horses? Who knows? About 6,000 years.
I was going to say that.
Sorry, I gave it away. Yeah, about 6,000 years. So are we crazy or what to think that, you know, even in 6,000 years, that we're going to be taking the nature out of the horse and make them kind of kowtow to us? But they do quite a bit, don't they? I mean, maybe Denise could explain a little bit about into pressure and how we train the riding horse to come off pressure, and will we train them to do everything off pressure eventually, because we're off pressure creatures. I don't know if we've ever talked about that together.
Well, yes. I mean, basically, it's all about not only to know about this into pressure syndrome that horses have the natural response wherever the pressure, if you have your hand leaning against their hip, they don't move naturally away from it, they move into it. So that's what we call the into pressure syndrome here in our school. But all things to our responsibility is to understand what we are working with. Mm-hmm. So to understand a horse's natural behavior. And I think that is the biggest part of everything. Even if we do like the wild horse gentling course or any of the other courses we are teaching here, it's about to bring to the students how horses think and how they are reacting to different ways. What was mentioned before is that, for example, for us, it makes no difference at all how we're going to approach. Yeah, we just want to go and touch the horse. But for the horse, it's such a difference if you are having even open fingers, closed fingers, if you look at them, if your shoulders are slightly turned. So like the body language is so extreme important for them. And we as like people have to adapt to it, right, and like learn it and be aware of what we are actually telling them with our body. So it is a long process. It's like about how you would learn a foreign language. You can be like saying hello and where is the train station pretty quick, but it takes a long time to have a fluent conversation, and you have to practice mm-hmm. to be able to talk in any kind of dialect or like understand at least mm-hmm. the dialect. And I would say it's the same with like understanding the horse language or behavior, that you really need to study it. And it's not, for some people, they're very talented. Mm-hmm. It goes very quick. And for other people, they really have to study hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching Caitlin coach a little bit with Jamie, who had mentioned that a few minutes ago. And Caitlin, you were giving her coaching, I think, based on what you're seeing as intent. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about intention in our bodies and how the horses read that and how you were correcting us in the gentling pen.
So horses are very good at reading intentions from each other and from us. And anybody who has seen nice horses around elderly people or children, and really disabled people, they are very different than the big man or woman who is just going to go out and I'm going to catch this horse and I'm going to ride this horse. Just the way we carry ourselves and, like Denise was saying, eye contact and even breathing is so important. And people don't realize how important your breath can be and how much it can change everything in your body and relax your muscles and let all the negative energy out of you. And a lot of times the hardest thing, I think, for well, not the hardest, but definitely a challenge for everybody working with these wild horses in the beginning or young horses is the horse has high energy or is nervous and anxious. And we tense up and we want to hold our breath because we are anticipating what's coming or if the horse is going to explode, we're trying to prepare for that. And you forget to breathe. And then that usually makes everything even worse, where if you can just relax and take a deep breath, it really helps your horse start breathing as well.
Right. So, Jamie, have you been able to take some of these concepts and actually go play with your horses and have a little play around?
I have entirely changed the way that I work around my horses because of Monty's concepts. I became a member of the university in March. And I adopted my horse at my Mustang at the end of February. So pretty much everything that I have done from the start of having this Mustang has been Monty's concepts. Now, while I've been here, I have my Mustang and I have sure learned a lot because I love your dad. He sees me having trouble and I'm here. He just comes over and helps me. And he's just so incredible to jump in and help me with my Mustang. But as far as all of the wild horse concepts, I swear I went out and brought my horses in from the pasture and I went in with the body language and breathing and really conscious of where my arms are going and all this. And these horses have been around me for quite some time, but I think I'm respecting their language a little bit more.
Oh, that's good.
Does that make sense? So
respecting is a good word. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Once you begin to know that working with their nature is a lot easier than working against their nature, that becomes a really good word. I like that because, you know, it is kind of silly of us to think that we could start muscling around 1,000 or 1,200 pound animal and work against their nature. And, you know, what I love about looking around this course or looking around a lot of the courses that Denise is putting on is that they're 90 to 95% women. And we're not talking women that are going to win the shot put in the Olympics. We're talking about, you know, petite young ladies that are strong, but they're not necessarily going to arm wrestle a horse to get them to do something that they don't want to do.
You don't have to do that with this. That's what I love about it.
Exactly right. And I think that's what you're talking about is respecting that nature and they'll work with you. I watched 4 or 5 horses being loaded on a trailer this morning. And I know that's one of Glenn's standing jokes about going to shows or equestrian centers is watching people, you know, it's not entertaining, really, it's frustrating, but watching people try to load their horses at the end of the day, there's always the one or two at the end of the day who are having trouble. And you can't really ask them for help. I mean, you can't ask them if they want help because, you know, by then they want to take your head off. And if you do help them, you better get the horse on or they're really going to be, you know, mad at you. But tell us a little bit about what you were doing and just working with the horse's nature and loading those horses this morning, what they were thinking about.
Well, loading a horse is, first of all, you need to be able, like, to really teach them how to come off pressure. So because in that moment where they resist to go forward and you hold the line pressure just a little bit, it doesn't have to be like much. I can easily hold it with my hand. So there's not a lot of pressure we are talking about, but just the consistency of giving yeses and nos. Mm-hmm. So whenever they do something you like, you release the pressure and give them a head rub and like breathe out. And the most important thing is to control your own intention, so to not get frustrated, because if you get frustrated, there's almost no way to get them in, mm-hmm. because you have to keep a fair and a blank sheet of paper to explain them what you want. Mm. So every step forward is getting them a yes and a release of pressure. And then what we do, we work with long lines. So even if they go backwards and they say they don't want to get in the trailer, I'm just staying there like totally neutral and letting them do the mistake, holding the pressure, but they will figure out that this is uncomfortable. And then they do that one step forward and there is the release of pressure again. And then I can give them the head rub. So okay. I try getting to get the them idea. Yep. The idea what I want from them. Mm-hmm. And just like this extra 2 or 3 minutes to explain them what we want makes a whole difference most of the time.
A lot of people will say, oh my gosh, you're so patient and you take all that amount of time. But imagine how long these people who never do take that time struggle the whole horse's life with trying to load them on the trailer. And one important thing that you said is a long line. So Denise, I never see you go out with a difficult to load horse without a 30-foot long line in your hand. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you let those, the movement of the feet. Caitlin, tell me a little bit. I haven't talked to you about this before. Tell me about that. Who controls the feet being an important issue, not only in loading, but in a lot of these things about releasing that untouched or the wild horses from the gate. This is an important part about who moves the feet controls the story for the day.
Yeah, so the alpha mare of a herd will always have complete control of the whole herd's, not only the direction of where the feet go, but how fast the feet go. And it's such an important thing for the horse to understand that we can control their feet instead of them controlling our feet. And it really sets up the relationship that we'll be the leader. And of course, we need to be the leader to keep us safe because we weigh 100 pounds and the horse weighs 1,000 or more. So I really need my horses to respect me and understand that if I ask them to do something, they need to do it now and exactly how I say to do it, just to keep me or everybody I'm with safe. And if you watch horses in a herd or in a group or even two horses together, the dominant horse, the leader horse, can move the other horse exactly where they want it. Sometimes as easily as, you know, a look of an eye or pinning the ears or swishing the tail or anything like that. And if the horse doesn't, if the other horse doesn't respond to her or respect what she is saying, then she will progress and get more serious with him until he understands. And chances are, even if it takes a kick or a bite or something to get that horse to move, the next time the alpha mare tells that horse to do something, he'll probably do it a lot quicker. If that answers your question, I don't know.
It does. Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I guess this might be a silly question, but Jamie, do you think like we should be alpha mares in our herd?
I don't know. You'll have to ask my husband. No, I'm just kidding. an alpha mare in my herd. I believe so. I need to be with my horses to keep myself and those around me safe for sure. But I think I'm learning how to be the alpha mare in this course.
Good. Okay. I think that's important. What do you think, Denise, on that?
I think so too. We have to, like, somebody needs to be in control. Mm-hmm. And since we are living in that world, what we did set up, and we just expect our horses to understand what we have of crazy things and environment there. So I think we need to be the lead, but at the same time, we also need to meet the horses' needs. Mm-hmm. So there, yes, alpha mare, but also to like a good alpha mare will be having their herd or anything in mind. So it has nothing to do with like just like ruling or leading. It has to do to know what is important for the ones who are following you to be safe and happy. So I think that is like important to add to it.
Right. So we're in the San Ynez Valley, and I know Glenn and Jen are going to come out and visit us, I think, in the fall. And we've got Jamie here too. We've got lots of fun things to do. Jamie, what do you look forward to doing in the coming days? We're on a Thursday of a 2-week course. You've got some things going on over the weekend. Oh yeah. Tell us about your lesson over the weekend.
I thought you were going to ask me about your dad taking all of us to the pub on Saturday.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that after the show.
That was a given. That was...
What's it called?
Maverick Saloon.
Yeah,
Maverick Saloon. That's yes. right. You can spit on the floor and drink till somebody better drive you home. I don't know. It's a fun place, Glenn. We'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
Tell us about your lesson.
Yeah. I'm super excited. I brought my event horse here with me as well, and he's learning his job as an event horse, and we've competed a couple times and cross-country schooled several times, but I've always wanted to compete out here at a place called Shepherd Ranch, which is owned by an event rider named Bunny Sexton. And so I've never competed here, but I'm here and I'm 4 miles away from it. So I called Bunny and I scheduled a lesson. So I'm taking my thoroughbred over with Bunny at Shepherd Ranch on Saturday morning and going to take a cross country lesson with her and awesome. Explore their course and see, I mean, just to ride out here in that manner and ride out here with, I mean, it just the most beautiful views and the weather here is perfect. It's just got, I feel like it's going to be magical and I'm super excited about it. I also took that same thoroughbred on your racetrack yesterday. So
that's right.
he's having a great time.
He's on vacation too, huh? Cause it's like 110 degrees back at home. So they must be feeling pretty good out here.
Oh, he is there. I actually almost felt like I should have put a sheet on him last night because it got down to, I don't know, 55 wonderful degrees.
Terrible.
I thought, oh, gosh, he's freezing to death. I'm freezing. He must be cold.
I know. You know, that's, I mean, it's funny because Denise Heinlein is from Germany, and I imagine you came from a cold part of Germany. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm from the south of Germany. Sometimes we have quite cold weather.
Quite cold weather. But she doesn't like the cold. This is what I love. This is what Denise and I really have in common is that I don't like the cold either. And so we've gotten some really great instructors here, mostly because of the weather, I think. Fortunate to be. But it's a beautiful place to be and live. And you live right here. Oh, you actually live off the farm now.
Yeah,
you lived
farm,
when you first came on, but it's what, a few miles away?
Oh, yeah. It's just close by. So it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been beautiful. We've had great weather too. So I hope people are loving to come out for a course. It must be a little warm in Las Vegas right now too, huh, Caitlin?
Yes, I'm glad I'm not in that heat anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They're all the deserts are, the desert rats are coming to us right now, you guys.
Yes.
Crawling out of the desert. Well, thank you for joining us. I would love to have some trainer's tips out of you all. So I'm going to have you back if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? Great. Okay. Well, I mean, if there's some wrap up after this course too, we're going to have to do, you know, people are going to be dying to hear what you did in your second week. If you did all of this in, what are we, 3.5 days right now into the course. So we'll have you back to talk a little bit more about the follow on too, is how these horses turn out and where they go and where do you imagine they might go, Denise?
Well, I am about thinking to adopt that one little, the beauty one.
Beauty.
So did you already mention that they maybe the listeners should already think about great names and then check.
We haven't said
yeah,
that.
We
Do
haven't
tell
said
us that.
That
idea. That's a good idea.
I think Monty wanted to have like a competition or a naming competition for all those three Mustangs now, which we have here and adopted, because we are still only calling them Skinny Beauty and Big Guy. So that are not
perfect
really
names.
Nice names.
Perfect names. Yeah.
So, and maybe they can already start and get creative and like help so us to find the
well,
best
describe
names.
Describe the three then and give people a little help of what they look like and maybe a little bit about their background too.
One's skinny, one's beautiful, and one's big.
She just did describe them. Yeah.
We're done here.
I guess we're going to set up some pictures on the Monty Roberts Facebook site. And like have everybody the most beautiful pictures we can find, and then like everybody can have a look there.
Okay, all right.
If they're interested.
So yeah, they came from the Ridgecrest BLM pens up there. Ridgecrest, California, is way up in the northeast. And Caitlin, were you on that trip?
Yes, I got to go along with Monty to pick them up.
Tell us a little bit about that for a minute.
It was very exciting. Monty wanted the horse to resemble Shy Boy so that we could relate them as Shy Boy's nephews or whatever you want to say. So they're from about the same area. You know, the Mustangs over here from California, Nevada, they're all very similar looking and similar bloodlines. So these Mustangs, when we went, they had to be geldings, of course, no mares. And they had to be all bays with a little white on the feet and not much white on the face, if just a little star, and just kind of make it kind of look like Shy Boy as much as we could. But yeah, that's what we were looking for. We kind didn't really base it on personality or anything like that.
Yeah, right. You can't do much in those pins, really. It's hard to see much more than conformation and a little bit of move around, right?
Yeah, it's it is interesting because they are all shifted around with each other. So you can kind of see who are the stronger ones of the herd, and like the thicker ones obviously get to eat the more hay and maybe push the smaller ones away from the food. So you can see a little glimpse of their personality by just watching them for a couple minutes.
Poor skinny.
Yeah, good. Hence one is called Skinny. I guess, yeah.
Well, Skinny is the most recent one off the range. He had not been in the holding pen for very long before we picked him up, so that's probably why he was thinner.
Yeah, so two of them, the other two, were actually raised in the pens, born in the pens and were raised in the pens, not rounded up, right?
Yeah, correct. Their moms must have been rounded up when they were pregnant, and then they were fold after they were already caught by BLM.
And could you tell a little bit, is there a little bit of difference between that one that was surviving on the desert versus the two that were in the pens?
All three of them have very different personalities. So I wouldn't say that it's only because they were born in captivity that they're going to be one way or another, because the two that were born in captivity are still very much different from each other. So I wouldn't label them like that personally.
Yeah. Interesting. It'll be so fun to watch them kind of grow up. Is it that you're going to keep one here as Shy Boy's nephew or cousin or whatever? But
Were we going to keep all three of them here for 1 year? Because that is like the setup, how
it's a requirement. Yeah,
requirement
of the BLM.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep all three of them here and like train them as further as or as much as we can, and then find good homes for them for the other two.
There you go.
Is the next owner of like one of the others.
Oh, lucky owner. Jamie, don't think about it. You already have a Mustang now.
Oh, don't worry. I've already realized that I do have one empty spot in the trailer. So I can fill that sucker up on the way home.
Well, you do. Denise is right. It is a requirement to keep your adopted Mustangs for 1 year. And that's for good reason. They want people not to just flip these horses off to the next.
I'm off the hook.
I mean, woo! Yeah, you can't do it for a year, but you can get in line. I hope there's a line in a year for people that are looking at these horses, because they're going to be amazing. Can you imagine all the wonderful hands that they will have gone through in a year's time here at the Monty Roberts International Learning Center? They're all so we didn't even get to talk about Henny Minnie, the little donkey that was rescued, who just was a flight animal, like almost wings. Yeah. She's really fast. And there's just such wonderful rescues here that they make adoptable here at the school. We're really pleased to have Denise and Caitlin and the other, and even and the advanced students are amazing that come through here. I don't know about you, Jamie, but I just watch all these wonderful horsemen that are certified and, you know, at advanced levels and say, wow, where have they been? They're just amazing horse people from all over the world.
It makes me wish I was a little bit younger and a little bit past, you know, if I wasn't married, I didn't have a kid and I lived and I was 22, I would live here and I would get certified. I would, if you have an opportunity to come out here and do a clinic or get certified, do it. It will change your life. I actually am thinking, Debbie, you know, I brought my living quarters trailer and I'm staying on the property. And I think what I'm going to do is just never leave.
Uh-oh, Chad, I hope you're not listening.
He can come back. There was room for him.
There's okay,
room.
There you go. We really have changed her life. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm not leaving.
You know. If you could say just one thing that you'd like people to take away from this interview and this course, what would it be? Caitlin?
I'll say two things if that's okay. I can't pick between the two.
Of course.
The first thing for this course mostly, because I do have a passion for Mustangs, and people really get the wrong idea with Mustangs and they think that they're stupid and too crazy and dangerous. And they're really not, if you know how to handle them. I would pick my Mustang over any other horse any day. And so I would love for people to maybe go out and experience some things, and they might change their mind about the Mustangs. And I'm not recommending to anybody to go buy yourself a Mustang, because you need to be an experienced person to adopt a wild Mustang. But just to not be so close-minded about them, because they really are amazing horses. And my other thing, just for people to become that good horseman, to maybe down the road go adopt a wild Mustang from the BLM, would be to just get your hands on as many horses as possible and learn from each one, because each horse will have something different to offer you. And the more horses you can work with and meet and learn from, the better horse person you'll be.
Terrific. That's wonderful, Caitlin. Thank you. Yeah. And Denise?
And I add to Caitlin's comment there, if you are open-minded and listen to your horse, because otherwise they won't help you out much. You can have and work hundreds. And if you're not open-minded to see what they tell you, then those 100 horses are like just 100 horses as a number.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would like to say this course, because my personal interest in horses is how much they change yourself, if you are opening up for that, what they give us and what they allow us to learn about ourselves, to be like in control of your own emotions, in control of your body, like just be more aware what like you are doing in that moment with a different creature. That's just amazing. And therefore I thank those white horses, our horses who are helping us right now, to what I think they do exactly at that moment with all those people out there. So that's really nice.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Transformative. It really is. You can, and what a privilege to be watching that too.
Oh, yeah.
And these people. Yeah. Wonderful. And Jamie?
Well, I guess if I was to take the last 4 days and form something to tell you as a tip, the thing that I have really had to learn coming out here is it's three things: slow down, breathe, and listen. You know, listen to your horse, listen to the surroundings, listen to the people that are there to help you. Slow down, take your time. We're in no hurry. The horse is not in a hurry. You listen to the horse. And I, for some reason, my gosh, I get around these guys and I hold my breath. And as soon as I breathe, they relax. And it's really made a huge difference working with the wild Mustangs in the chute. So those three things: slow down, breathe, and listen.
Hi, I'm Monty Roberts, and I'm dedicated to training horses without pain. You can learn to do it too on my Equus Online University. Western, English, the beginner, or the advanced rider, it doesn't matter. You can connect with other students online too, on our forum. And there's a new lesson every week. It's a lifetime of learning for you on my Equus Online University at MontyRoberts.com.
Well, great. Now she's going to stay there. Jamie's going to be living with you, and she'll drop the radio show. I have to go find a new host, and it's all your fault.
No, you move out here too. So
oh,
okay. Actually, we're gonna...
I don't think that's going to. I think Jamie or Jennifer, my wife, kind of likes it here in Florida. So
kind of just settling in there nicely, huh? Oh, you know, she'll start missing Chad, and she'll eventually.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
Back.
This is only day four. Wait till the end of the second week, and we'll see what she's saying. You know,
exactly. We're upping the bar every day. Anyway, yeah. It might get tougher here, but no, I'm glad she's having fun. But she'll be missing Lucas and Chad. I put them on the plane personally yesterday.
Oh, did you?
To fly back. back, you know, so that she could spend a little more time in the in.
This is her first time away from the child, who is over two years old now, and this is her first time away for any period of time at all. So
he's right at that age too, where he is really close to her, and it was really cute because talk about focus on that girl. We're in this gentling pen, which is a pretty small pen, and it's got a ramp around it where Chad could put the baby carriage up there, you know, the little three wheeler that they have, and he could peek over, and she's focused on this, her, not only the Mustang, but also her partner who's working with her. And, she did not bat an eye when you hear this mama, 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 mama. I was like, uh-oh, started to escalate, but he was great. He just couldn't believe she was in there with the Mustang. I'm sure that's what he was saying.
That was it. I'm sure. Well, very good. Well, I'm so excited for them, and it sounds like they're having a wonderful time.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful experience, and we can't wait to have you out here to see it. You know, it's different. Every month is different. Every activity that we have at the school is a little different, so you'll have a different experience again, and maybe Jamie can come out and join you. It'd be fun.
Very good. Well, I think we have to figure out where Monty goes after this, so it's time for Where in the World is Monty?
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Yeah.
Where in the world is Monty Roberts?
Monty is looking forward to meeting some new friends, two-legged and four-legged, August 1st and 2nd at the Riding with Respect workshop coming straight up, August 3 through 7, the Monty Special Training at Flag Is Up Farms. September 5, we have another Night of Inspiration with Monty and Pat at Flag Is Up Farms. Those are fun. October 3 and 4, actually, October 10 and 11, we have a weekend called the Wild Women's Weekend. It's a new one for us, and it's going to be with my mom, who is a sculptress and an equestrian. And, you know, we're not telling you too much more about that. You got to sign up and find out, and you have to be a woman, I think. But no, we don't. It'd be funny if you weren't, though, actually. And then Dad will be meantime in England. He'll be October 10 at Bishop Burton College, October 17 at Myers Co. College, October 23 at Hartbury College, October 29 at Marist Wood College, and October 31 at Ingleston Country Club, which is up in Scotland. It's we used to go to the place where they have the big Glen Eagles, right? Mm-hmm. The big golf club there. They had an equestrian center, but they closed that. So we are now going to Eggleston Country Club. Because for a while there, with all those colleges, I thought, wow, do you have to be a college student to go? But no, they just have beautiful equestrian centers there. And they allow us to have a lot of seating and beautiful indoor buildings for that fresh air that they have in England.
Very good. Well, it sounds terrific. And of course, you can see more about Monty's travels and everything going on at the university and all the different parts of the Monty Roberts organization at montyroberts.com. You can also give them a call, 805-688-6288. And for details about today's show, go to horsemanshipradio.com, where you can find links, photos, and more information about our guests. And as always, we love your feedback. Please follow us on Facebook under facebook.com/MontyRoberts and Twitter at twitter.com/Monty_Roberts. And of course, to get the app for the Horse Radio Network, it's free and it's easy. Simplest way to listen to the shows, just go to the iTunes or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network.
Yep, and many thanks to our sponsors. We have IFA.com and Omega Fields and Monty Roberts Equus Online University. And be sure to visit all the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at
You don't even have to put the www's in anymore.
I know. Yeah, you know what? That's so nice.
You don't need those anymore. No.
HorseRadioNetwork.com. But until next time, have many happy horse hours.
Cut there.